Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of Wikicuriosity Media or its affiliates. Wikicuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on Wikicuriosity Media programs is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor. Coming to you live from the Wikicuriosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of Behind the Screen Movie of the Week. I am your host, Dan. Joining me in the studio tonight is lovely Miss Angel.
Hello.
And Austin.
Hello.
And joining us from his studio in the great state of Michigan is Alex.
Hello.
And you can join us as well. All you got to do is call in 718-664-9735. Again, 718-664-9735. That'll bring you directly into the studio with us. Normally, we would have our live feed on Facebook right now, but we're having technical issues on that end. We are trying to get it figured out as quickly as possible. And we will be back up and running on Facebook Live as quickly as we can, honestly. Speaking of Facebook, you can follow us. All you got to do is go to the search bar, type in Behind the Screen Radio Show. It'll be the first one that pops up. Click like, share, and follow. Be kept up to date on everything that is going on in Behind the Screen world. Also, head on over to Wikicuriosity Media's Facebook page. Give them a like, share, and follow so you can be kept up to date on everything, all the new things that we are going to be implementing. And, you know, be kept up to date. You can also go to our website, www.wikicuriosity.wixsite.com/WC Media. It's a mouthful, it's a lot to remember, so just click on the link and any of the Facebook pages for any of the shows on Wikicuriosity Media. On the website, you can check out pictures of the hosts and cast and crew of Wikicuriosity Media. You can also check out our blogs. You can check out all the shows that have, you know, that are on the network, and you can access all previous shows through links up in the top right corner. You can also access our YouTube channel, Wikicuriosity Media. There are some pretty cool things on the channel and more to be added here shortly. Hopefully this week we'll get all of the rest of our live shows uploaded to YouTube. I believe we're back on Facebook Live.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. Yeah, we are up and running on Facebook Live. So now you can message us on Facebook on the live feed, and we'll either respond to you on the live channel or on the air. What am I missing? YouTube, all that good stuff. No, I think I got it all.
I think you got it all?
I think I got it all. All right. So it is another wonderful Sunday evening.
Fingerprint.
Sorry. put back at FIFA. Okay. We had some technical issues and stuff going on. I think we are back up and running now. I think we're good to go. I think our media manager is set and ready and good to go.
Why is the... Okay, well, I will say this. The broadcast on my end keeps saying live video interrupted. Keeps blinking up. This broadcast has been paused.
I'm not sure. I don't see you in the studio. Okay, we are having technical issues with the live feed on Facebook. However, you can still listen to us here. It's not a big deal. Okay, so we've had some pretty interesting things going on in Wicked Curiosity family this week. One thing that I would like to say is we do now have official Wicked Curiosity media hosts, and they actually look pretty cool. I do have two that I'm going to mail out. They will be mailed out this week, probably either Tuesday or Wednesday, most likely Tuesday, to our hosts in the other states. But yeah, we've got official host t-shirts now.
They look pretty awesome.
They do. They do. They're black with our logo on the back and our names on the front. So they're pretty badass. So,
what else has been going on?
Well, yesterday we had our little birthday party. I'm going to let you speak on that a little bit. Because you had more fun at that than I did. Or do we need to go to a break for a second?
So, you know, on Facebook, there are, it's super cutty on the live feed, by the way. It's jumbled. Okay, so there's captioning on the live feed. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And the captioning, you were talking about the shirts. Anyway, the only sentence that came across the screen was, you can still lose weight. And I was like, nobody said that. Nobody said that.
I don't think I said that in any way, shape, or form.
Nobody said that. No, so yes, we had our little birthday parties this week, and party. It's one party, two kids. And it was fun and it was interesting. You know, we do things a little different here in this family. We have two that are 2 years and 1 day apart.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, especially with the way the last year has been, last year was our last outing last year was their birthday party. And it was at a big, like, gaming center. And they always have fun going there. We couldn't do that this year, obviously, because it just doesn't work out. But because of COVID. They wanted this year to be their first year to, to do separate parties. They wanted their own parties. And I was like, yeah, it's probably not going to happen because you're going to invite, like...
Sounds like a dog ran over the desk.
Yeah. Sorry.
You know, and you're going to invite, like, two people. I'm not going to spend a crap ton of money on two big party ideas here in our house because we aren't going anywhere.
Yeah.
So they did a together party, and then our daughter had a sleepover. So we rented a game truck. And this thing was freaking awesome.
It was pretty cool.
It was really cool.
Basically what it is it's a trailer pulled by a full-size pickup with...
It wasn't what I was expecting.
No.
I didn't realize it was going to be in a trailer. But it was super cool. Like, they have these panels that lift up, let air come in, and So we on the outside can see what's going on the inside.
Plus
and
the play games.
Yeah. They've got 5 big screen TVs up. They run like PS4 consoles, Nintendo Switch, all of that stuff.
Yeah, I think they had one Xbox gaming console in there.
Yeah. And then they have like 150 games that they can choose from. Yeah. We had that here for a couple hours and that was pretty cool. A little later than normal. Normally, typically, I like to have our parties at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
So I have to, like, clean up and relax at the end of the day. That did not happen. Party started at 4. Game left at 6:30. We had presents. They were spoiled. They got a lot of shit. I'm not even going to lie. Our son turned 12. He got some really cool Nerf stuff. Like, make you say ouch kind of Nerf stuff.
He got best Nerf.
Everything.
Ever.
He did.
Like, if any of you know what the Mark 19 is, it is literally basically a semi-automatic grenade launcher.
Yeah.
It's got a drum in it. It holds, like, 8 or 6, 6 grenades. And it fires. Well, they literally have a Nerf gun like that.
That was not the coolest one, you know it.
It's the coolest Nerf gun.
A pistol that shoots little rubber bullets.
Those things are
at high speed.
I don't know, that one gun still, though, like, it scared the hell out of me a couple times when people shot it, because I was like, what? That thing is not made for kids.
Yeah.
That will injure somebody.
Yeah, the Nerf rifle bullets.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
They hurt.
Yeah. The uncle got hit in the face by one.
He did, and then he quit playing.
He's like, no, I'm done.
Yeah,
and the person that shot him didn't mean to shoot him in the face.
Who was it?
Chris.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they bounce like, if they hit a surface, they can bounce on grass.
Yeah.
How hard they like, they can bounce in mud.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool, though. So when the game truck left at 6:30, all the girls went inside to
play Barbies
because she got all of the Barbie stuff, all of it, which was super cool. However, it was not her winning moment. Her winning moment was that her big brother bought her a birthday gift this year. And she loved that already. But then she opened the birthday gift. It was a freaking ring light.
For TikTok.
So she could, because she's really good at TikTok. Sometimes it's just like unboxing stuff and it's silly. But when she really tries,
she's
talented. and so now she has a ring. That was her winning gift. That's all I've heard about all day long. Is how cool, how did Austin know that I would love this ring light? This is my favorite birthday gift, I have to say, Mom. Okay, awesome. Whatever. Never mind the 50 Barbie playsets I bought you.
Yeah.
I know this generation better.
This is Barbie. Ring light!
Oh, she freaked out. And she even made it, like, she's not the most touchy-feely of kids with most people. I mean, she's up my ass all the time. But she had to get up from her little corner and go hunt him out. She had to get him a hug.
Aww.
So, yes, she loved it. But the boys, on the other hand, played Nerf Wars until like 10:30 at night.
Well, we couldn't see the darts anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a little chilly. And then we went inside, and boy left with dad. I had 3 girls that took over my entire downstairs with snacks and Barbies.
I took a shower and
TikTok.
Went to sleep by myself in this nice, big, clean bed. Had the TV to myself. And
when I woke up,
I was out instantly.
That's great. When I woke up at 7 o'clock in the morning to make sure that you were up and looked around, it looked like a literal bomb had gone off in my house.
A Barbie bomb.
It was so bad. And all I could think was, it's going to take me forever to clean this. They have school tomorrow, so I technically kind of have to clean.
Now, you might want to inform everybody that you did have to sleep on the couch last night.
I did have to sleep on the couch last night because I'm not going to allow 3 10-year-old girls. I was 10. I'm not going to allow 3 10-year-old girls to sleep downstairs next to my front door by themselves. It's not going to happen. So I slept downstairs with them. It was really uncomfortable.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I felt like I had a hangover all day today, and I didn't. Like, if I drink a lot, I don't have a hangover. I have a slumber party with 3 10-year-olds. I wake up, I suddenly have a hangover. It was horrible. The nicest part of my morning was that when Ann came home from church, she was like, I brought you a Diet Coke. You're the best person in the world right now. You love me.
You really love me.
Thank you. Is there anything to get it? No? Okay. You're drinking? Okay. But it was fun. It was fun. They had a blast. Girls were gone by 12, which doesn't usually happen here, but I was really tired. So they left. But I will say that for the times that we are living in and the situations that we're facing, it was probably the best idea for an at-home birthday. And I would recommend it. There's literally only one in the Knoxville area. What happened? So if you, you know, if you look up gaming truck, you can only find one. Only one guy. He's the only one that does it. But super cool idea. I think they need more of them.
I agree.
I would do it for an adult birthday. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I would hook up one of those things for a grown person. Awesome.
What?
You want to turn that off?
Not really, but...
Yeah.
Sorry, it's really hot in here.
Yeah. Is that not what you meant?
Turn the light on.
Oh, turn the fan and the light on.
That's literally all I wanted was to turn
the
light on.
So you're
going
to have to use more than
turn the fan off.
Sign language doesn't work.
Why do we need a light on? Yeah, sign language like this doesn't mean anything.
Anyway.
Just use your words. They know we're live. It's okay.
Anyway. Alex, I know you've been quiet. Whoa! That was loud. Tell us about your week.
You're okay.
Okay.
I only peed a little.
My week was pretty uneventful until, like, Wednesday. Not even Wednesday. I don't even know when I made it, but I made a knife handle for a knife. And it was cool. I'm going to reshape it and stuff a little bit, but other than that, it's pretty much done. And then I went dog sitting, and I just got home from that, like, hour and a half ago. And I'm super tired, super exhausted. But
from dog sitting?
Yeah, well, you see, these dogs, they like to go outside quite a lot, especially in the middle of the night. So I was up and down in the middle of the night, and I didn't really, like, sleep all that much. But it was fine.
I would have traded dogs for a 10-year-old sleepover.
I'd rather have neither.
You missed out. You could have been here.
Well,
tell you what.
I know my sister. I don't know how she gets around her friends.
Well, here's the thing, though. Surprisingly, the entire day went without a hitch. There were a couple kids that just didn't really hit it off. But really, everybody got along, and there was no bickering. And, like, even I was a little worried because I do know her. And I was like, what if they start pitching at each other in the middle of the night? What am I going to do? What if somebody gets their feelings hurt?
Have to get over it?
No, I don't want to have to call moms in the middle of the night and be like, my kid hurt your kid's feelings. You're going to have to come get them. Fine. But it went really well. Like, everybody was nice, and there was a hell of a mess, but everybody was nice and had fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
And it was kids we don't normally have here. You know, we have a lot of, not a lot, of the kids that came, a lot of them were not, like, normal birthday party goers for us. And so that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I was super excited.
I chose the dogs.
No. I was super excited because Liam's best friend got to come.
Yeah.
And
that was a good surprise.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Because he's not really been able to come to his birthday parties because he's usually, our birthday parties fall on spring break every year, and he's usually gone. And so that was amazing for him. I would not have chosen dogs over seeing that.
No, but over the rest of the day.
Yeah, probably. I was really tired. It was a really long day.
I would have chosen dogs.
It was a really long day.
Yeah.
It started massively early for me yesterday. It started at like 8. And I didn't finish until 1 o'clock in the morning when I finally passed out and made all of them pass out. I was leaning hard towards, like, is it, I wanted to be that parent that Googles, like, is it okay to give other kids blowjobs?
Well, one kid, all I had to do was say, hey, go to bed.
Yeah, she rolled over and went to sleep. She was cool.
Yeah.
It was Sophia and her other little bestie that were like, we want to play more. No, go to sleep. Sleepovers don't mean stay up till the sun comes up. That's not the definition. Sleep
literal.
Over. You go to sleep over here.
Literally.
Go to sleep over here. Not to
sleep over.
You sleep over here.
Yeah.
Not over.
I'm just saying.
It's not called a play over.
Yeah.
It's called a sleep over.
Yes. You ask to sleep over. That means you sleep.
It's not a play date. It's a sleep over.
You sleep.
Next time you start playing, schedule a play date. Should have thought that out a little bit better.
Yep. Your fault, not mine.
We have
done messed up, eh, Aaron?
Shit, birds coming out of your nose.
I'm just going to put this out there. I really don't understand why you always seem to take a drink at the wrong moment. Like, can you not predict what your children are going to say?
No.
By now.
And it's usually one of these two boys.
Yes, it's either Alex or Austin.
Yes.
Like, I have learned, like, when they open their mouth, my drink is down.
Yeah, because
you never know what's going to come popping out.
You know, and fireball burns when it comes to your nose. It's not meant to come out that way.
Like, you were literally drinking right after he said the whole thing about the play date. He's been laughing. Ha, 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 drink. No. The joke is not over, okay? You have to wait. You have to give it that grace period.
You know what the least best part is, though?
The least best part?
Yeah, the not best of the best. But still good. It's still good stuff.
Oh, my God.
Like, Birthday
oh my God.
Season has just started for us.
I'm trying to be quiet, but I'm really excited about what's happening.
Yeah. We're going to get to that.
Birthday season is not over. It literally just started.
Uh-huh.
And I'm already exhausted.
Uh-huh.
And there's still, like, a lot more birthdays.
1, 2, 3, 4 within the next 2 months.
Yeah, like, I'm too old for y'all.
Grandmother.
It wouldn't be so bad if I didn't have to plan everything.
Just four right there.
Four? Like, did you forget mine?
No.
Godfather?
I'm only counting three.
Austin, Anne, who's on April 4th.
Oh.
Yes, there you go.
You, and then your brother.
Yes. Five if you count the Godfather.
Yeah. Five if you count Godfather this coming up week, which I'm just going to put this out there. Got on the best birthday gift ever. Not gonna say what it is, but I got hit the best birthday gift ever.
Such a douche it though.
Oh, what? Cook corned beef again? Oh,
I do
no.
have to do that. I'm gonna have to remember to get it out to thaw. Make more cupcakes and frosting.
Oh no! Heaven forbid you have to cook corned beef again and we eat it.
Again.
Shucky darn.
I guess I should get rid of the leftovers from the last corned beef.
Heaven forbid.
Right.
No, it's when I have to cook Anne's birthday dinner that I'm going to be like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing.
So, we're going to put this out there because she's not here to defend herself. Throw her right under the bus.
Oh, my God.
So, most of our kids, and this includes Alex, are pretty much...
Very simple.
Very simple when it comes to birthday dinners. Three of them want breakfast.
Yeah.
For dinner. That's easy. The most you have to do is cook bacon.
It was three different breakfasts, but still.
Yeah. And the most you have to do is cook bacon.
I'd make French toast.
Yeah. Alex, well, last year, I don't know what he's going to do this year, but last year, he just wanted smoked salmon.
Which was...
easy.
Yeah.
Put the salmon in the smoker and let it smoke.
I don't do that.
I do. My birthday dinners are pretty easy.
For the most part, yeah.
Steak on the grill.
Yep.
And I do that myself.
Yep.
Ryan is, or the godfather is corned beef and cabbage, because literally the week, exactly a week after
St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day.
And he has it every year. I already know. Every year.
Yeah.
Corned beef and cabbage. That's it.
The uncle, Indian tacos.
Every year.
Joby, Indian tacos.
Which is a little more time consuming just because it's fry bread. But it's still fairly easy, fairly simple.
Yeah.
It's normal stuff.
Guy glasses is even easy.
He doesn't care. Just make me food.
He just wants his big cupcake.
Yeah.
He just wants cupcakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we've got Nathan. Who this is actually the first birthday dinner that doing for her, because she came to us after her birthday last year.
She's been here almost
It'll be
a
end
year.
Of April will be a year.
Yeah.
So, this bougie-ass bitch, and I love her to death, and if she was here, I would call this to her face. Wants crab legs.
Yeah. I was like, you what?
What then?
What?
Can I have crab legs? Don't you see everybody asking for breakfast?
There's pancakes and waffles. That's like Eggo waffles, by the way, and French toast. See that? Sometimes they want meatloaf. Crab legs?
But yeah, what? So we're having crab legs.
Never cooked crab legs. This should be interesting.
This should be very interesting.
I'm just slightly jealous because I like crab legs.
Guess what we're having for his birthday dinner when he comes down?
Shut your mouth.
We're having crab legs. You know that, right? You know he's going to be like, I want crab legs.
Probably.
What do you want for your birthday dinner, Alex? Crab legs.
I don't think they're birthday dinner worthy, though. I don't like them that much.
Right? Here's my thing.
Okay.
I'm going to make them.
I can make it
only...
more complicated if you want me to.
I really... You should just pick whatever you want. Whatever. All I'm saying is, I'm going to make them, but literally probably half of the people in the house will eat them. I'll eat them, because I like crab legs. And I don't obviously haven't had them in forever, but...
I'll eat them if they're done right. I'm very... very particular. So I love seafood. I love fish. If it's cooked right. I don't like it slimy. Has to be flaky. But I love fish. Not crazy about lobster because it literally has no taste.
I don't like lobster because it always... the last time I had lobster was at Red Lobster.
Uh-huh.
And because... yeah,
same
that's
here.
What it was. Yeah, and Ryan's parents used to love to go there.
Yeah.
The first time I ever had lobster. And it tasted kind of fishy, and the butter they give you...
yeah.
Doesn't taste like butter. It tastes like oil.
It's
so it just
butter.
Tasted like... fishy oil. I was like, this is horrible.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about lobster.
It doesn't taste
fancy. I had lobster one time, and it was not the best.
No.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
Although, if they are done right, and I might actually, when I have more time, maybe this summer, we'll try and see how to cook them. Maybe I'll, you know, commission Alex to cook them. I love scallops.
Ugh.
Oh, no. I love scallops. If they're done correctly,
I've only had them once,
scallops.
And it ruined it for me.
Never had scallops.
The consistency that they were cooked at, for me, I don't know what they're supposed to taste like, obviously, because I've only had them once. But, you know, when you get a big hunk of fat
uh-huh.
on a steak
yeah.
and you bite into it,
no.
that's exactly what it was. And the first bite I took, I was like,
whoop! It was undercooked.
It was horrible.
So, scallops...
can you guess who cooked it?
Your mom? No. So, scallops are supposed to be seared. on the inside, but they're supposed to be cooked through almost like fish. It's supposed to be a flaky type consistency, almost like fish.
I might have to go to a restaurant to try them.
Yeah.
Because
I seafood restaurant. We may have to try to Joe's Crab Shack and go.
That's horrible.
But I do like me some scallops. But other than that, I'm not crazy about shellfish. I like clam chowder. I don't like clams by themselves. I won't even do oysters.
I've had oysters once. It was an oyster shooter at a Pike Place Market with my dad when I turned like 18. And when it slid down my throat, I thought I was dying. I was like, is that a slug?
No.
So bad. See, I'm not a fish person anyway. It should be a little interesting because I'm really careful about eating shellfish. I have been for a long time since I had Liam, because that was the first time in my life I'd ever had an allergic reaction to shellfish.
Yeah.
I had shrimp at a cookout, and my tongue swelled up.
But you've had shellfish since then.
I've had, like, popcorn shrimp.
You've had shrimp. You've had clams, which is a shellfish.
I've had clam chowder. I'm hoping that it's like a fluke weird thing, but I'm always a little leery. And I always tell people when I go to the doctor, I'm like, hey, one time I had an allergic reaction to shrimp. I don't really know why. But just letting you know. So they don't use, like, iodine on me.
Yeah. All right. So we do have to take our break. And we will be right back.
Behind the screen, we'll be right back.
Two minute plans and schemes. 2 minutes.
Welcome back to Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. If you are just joining us, you really missed a whole lot. We had some issues with our live feed on Facebook, but I think we've solved that now. But you can still call in, 718-664-9735. Again, 718-664-9735. That'll bring you directly into the studio with us. You can still message us on the live feed, and that will, you know, we'll see that, and we'll answer you either on the live feed or on the air. Facebook, all that good stuff. All right, so tonight should be kind of an interesting show. We are talking about the Snyder Cut of Justice League. Alex.
Yes.
Why don't you give us a little bit of history as to why the HBO decided to, or Max or whoever, decided to do a Snyder's cut of the Justice League?
So the Justice League, the original one that had came out, was not really an abandoned project by Zack Snyder, but he stopped working on it because of his death of his daughter. And obviously that took a toll on him and his family, so he stepped away. And while he stepped away, Joss Whedon came in and totally screwed over the whole movie, made a terrible movie. Everybody hated it. And Zack Snyder was getting some blame for it, but he said, no, that wasn't the original intention. And so after so many years, HBO acquired licensings for DC projects, and they came to Zack Snyder with a $30 million plus budget to finish what he originally intended. And there was a huge release the Snyder Cut movement that everybody wanted. It started out kind of not really a meme, but it wasn't that serious. And then it started to catch on. And then Ray Fisher, who plays Cyborg, started coming out and saying stuff about Joss Whedon and how he ruined the movie. And so he upped the the demand for the Snyder Cut. And so HBO saw an opportunity and they took it. And then they worked together, did some reshoots, finished up some CGI, redesigned some characters, kind of rewrote some characters too. And thus was the 4-hour-long movie of the Snyder Cut.
And it's kind of disappointing because when we look at Joss Whedon, we look at just the sheer amount of work that he has done for TV and cinema. I mean, he's done Firefly. He did Serenity, of course. This is written and written and directed by. He did Titan A.D. He did Atlantis: The Lost Empire. He did the screenplay for Toy Story. He was director for Age of Ultron, Avengers. I mean, he's got such a eclectic background within TV and movies that it's kind of disappointing to see what he did to the original Justice League. I hated the movie, the original one.
It was bad.
It was bad.
It was pretty bad.
We've reviewed it twice on, once on my other show, it was back in 2017, and then we reviewed it on this show, most recently on Cinephiles. It just wasn't up to par with, number one, Joss Whedon's work, and number two, anything that DC has done.
It was horrible.
It was trash. It was one of the worst movies that they have done.
By that point, I think only Batman vs. Superman and Wonder Woman was out. So they didn't really have, like, a whole lot of movies to go off of.
Well,
and it just so happens the two that they made were pretty bad.
To be fair,
they had
I thought
Man of Steel as well.
True, but I feel like out of all of those, still, Wonder Woman was my biggest letdown in DC.
Yeah, I would say that.
It was far worse than Justice League.
Yeah, but then when you see the other movies that came out after Justice League, Wonder Woman 84.
Which is way better than the other Wonder Woman.
It was. There was Aquaman.
Yeah, it was good.
And they were, and I think Wonder Woman actually came out after Justice League, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know, probably. I don't really remember.
I'll find out.
No, I think it was consecutive. Like, it was Batman vs. Superman, then Justice League, and then Wonder Woman got her movie.
Yeah, they came out in the same year. Wonder Woman came out in June of 2017. Justice League came out in November of 2017. So Justice League did come out after Wonder Woman.
Okay. Yeah.
But the first Wonder Woman was still crap.
It was horrible.
I still haven't watched it. I have no interest in watching that movie.
Well, originally we watched it because there was quite a long time where our youngest daughter, Wonder Woman was her thing. She loved Wonder Woman. And so when they said they were making a movie, like, there was a lot of excitement. We wanted to watch it. And to watch the entire, like, she has not talked about or wanted anything to do with Wonder Woman since watching that movie. It completely ruined her hero.
Yeah.
And that was the biggest disappointment to me.
Yeah.
Like, she wanted nothing to do with it. This kid lived in nothing but Wonder Woman clothes and had capes, and, like, she was all about Wonder Woman. Then we watched the movie and she wanted nothing to do with it.
So, two things I'll say about this movie before we actually dive into it. Number one, it is 10 times better than the original Justice League.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
It
blows it out of the water.
Far exceeds the original Justice League.
It is really good.
Number two, when we look at Zack Snyder's Justice League, even though it's 4 hours long.
It's 2 minutes.
Yeah. When we look at it and we bring it into the DC cinematic universe, it makes Batman versus Superman a better movie.
Well, yeah, because fun fact, Jack Snyder's Justice League is deemed the original version of Justice League, expected to reform the bridge of continuity between Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice, Ultimate Edition, and Aquaman.
Yeah, because
if you look at the first scene in Justice League, it's literally a, like, direct tie-in to Batman vs. Superman. The first scene in the original Justice League is Batman beating up a criminal. It has nothing to do with Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah, Justice League did not tie into Batman vs. Superman at all, if we're being honest. There was no tie-in whatsoever, other than the fact that Superman died.
Yeah, that was the only connection.
Yeah, and when we look at Zack Snyder's Justice League, we have that glimpse of the future that ties directly into the extended scene that we got in the Ultimate Edition for Batman vs. Superman, where we see Flash try to go back and talk to Bruce, where he says that she is the key, Lois Lane is the key, keep her safe. And then we get more of that explanation and more of that tie-in in this movie. Mm-hmm. It connects the two and makes it one sequential story.
There was still a lot of confusion in that whole fit in the movie for me.
I understand it. I'm watching it right now.
Like, I still don't quite understand all of the Lois Lane references.
Okay.
In the movie.
So,
yeah.
I'll break it down for you real quick. Lois Lane is Superman's love.
Yes.
Love of his life. If she dies, he becomes evil.
Okay.
That's the end-all and be-all. That's
okay.
Why Flash said Lois Lane is the key, keep her safe, stuff like that. Because we did get glimpses in Batman vs. Superman of the future, and then we got even more glimpses of that future in Zack Snyder's
cut. Yeah.
And
that's something that was actually explored in the Injustice video games. Like, that's the whole thing that kicks it off, is Superman gets hit by Scarecrow's fear toxin and basically tricks Superman into killing Lois Lane and his unborn child. And it was
yeah.
the Joker who did it, and he killed the Joker and Batman, and that just unraveled a whole bunch of stuff.
The movies just keep following more and more of the video game, for sure, especially with their suits of armor.
Yeah.
Their armor and suits just keep getting closer and closer to those.
All right, have you made it close to the end?
I'm pretty much there.
So, one of the things that I really like about Zack Snyder's Justice League, and so when I talk about Zack Snyder's Justice League, I'm also going to reference Batman vs. Superman, because it is, again...
This is officially canon now.
It's already been deemed.
Yeah, this is going to be my only canon version. It doesn't matter if it had to be my head canon or my real canon.
Okay. Snyder's JF. That's what it is. The Snyder Cut. What I like is, for me, it's kind of setting up a multiple universe version of DC.
Yeah, it's almost like Joss Whedon's was destined to fail. Like, they wrote it to just end it there and then not have any future movies. But with Zack Snyder's, it built and it, like, explained upon the universe and really dove into, like, the lore of his DC universe.
So what they can...
We can have a comment.
Okay.
Josh said that this particular film is miles better than any DC film ever made. But it did take him 3 days to actually finish the movie, and he just finished the last hour 2 minutes ago.
I mean, I can understand. It is a long movie.
It took me 6 hours to watch a four-hour movie.
Well, it took us about four and a half.
Yeah.
It took me just days to want to watch it. Like, I really did not want to watch this movie at all.
The thing is about the runtime. When you're going through... It is constant. It does keep your attention. But after the final battle, you're kind of like, okay, because what they did is they took all of the end credit scenes that could have been and that were and put it in the epilogue.
The epilogue was incredibly long.
It was. And it's like...
20 minutes. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was
like,
cool, but they were...
35 minutes.
Yeah.
Every single time a scene would cut, I'd kind of be ready to be like, okay, let's go to bed. It's over now. And then a new scene would come on. And I'm not going to lie. I don't have a great attention span for movies.
Yeah.
So I was getting I'm like, really?
Yeah. At that point, I was just like, oh my God, we just end this movie. Not because it was crap, but because it's like, I just sat through 3.5 hours of movie. And now you're going to give me a half-hour epilogue
it was really long.
While it does set up for future movies, and they can, so if Warner Brothers or even HBO Max was smart, they could run with two different storylines just off of the Justice League.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They could.
Sure.
They could run with one.
Well, I mean,
where...
they've now three, because you could have all the things going on in the present, all the things going on in the future, and all the things going on with Martian Manhunter. There's three different stories that you can go off of without having to ever split up the Justice League.
Yeah.
There is a Flashpoint movie coming out in the future.
Well,
I love that.
So Josh says he still doesn't like Ezra Miller's Flash. Grant Gustin's is still the better of the two, and I will have to agree. I Ezra Miller's just kind of, he's so weird looking.
Which one's that? You have to tell me.
The Flash.
Okay.
So I will say that...
Oh, my God.
He's not my favorite.
He's not.
The Flash.
Did you finally finish it?
Yeah.
So Austin just finally finished the movie.
The wrong one. Yeah. I started it at 12 or something.
No, he started at 2 something, and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to have time to finish it.
Yeah.
But...
Oh, my God.
I do... So I've never watched the Flash TV series. I haven't watched any of the DC TV series.
You the whole rundown of the Flash TV series.
I know you did.
Not me. I haven't watched it.
Oh, our daughter did.
Yes.
I've seen...
That my phone is hot.
Yeah. I've seen... Not Flash. I've seen another DC one. Almost
Green Arrow?
Through. No, I've...
You just broke
him. I was trying to think of things Marvel TV series and DC TV series are so similar that I actually can't remember which one's which.
Yeah, I just watched the Cool Brain stop in the track.
Yeah, because I watched all of the Punisher, but that's not DC.
No.
That's a very DC character.
It's a very Wolverine.
You watch Gotham?
Character.
No, I want to watch Gotham. It actually looks very
interesting. Amazing show. I love it.
Yeah. I started watching Green Arrow. Green Arrow is so slow. It's not until like season 3 that it picks up, and then from there it just spins like a rocket. So,
yeah, the CW DC shows are. I don't really think they're meant to be like true superhero shows. I think they're meant to be more drama and like for like teen girls, I guess.
I wasn't a huge fan, though.
I started Supergirl, and I watched basically all of it because I think someone else was binging it, and so I was watching it with them. It's not bad, but it is totally just like Two Broke Girls or Sex and the City, but with powers.
Yeah.
Like, it is just a TBS sitcom show.
Really?
But with superhero powers, yeah.
I still maintain that Marvel has the lock on live action.
Yeah.
Their movies and their TV series.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that Snyder's Cut and Shazam, because I will always lump Shazam in with that.
Well, I really enjoyed Aquaman.
I did too.
Yeah,
Shazam was pretty good.
Shazam was really good. Aquaman.
Just get over it.
Aquaman was that in between.
I really liked
it. It was in between the typical DC and Shazam.
I don't think it was a bad movie.
I'm not saying it was a horrible movie, but I don't put it up at the top.
No, I don't either, but I think it's like literally I think it's only those three, my top three. Like I don't think I... Like,
DC,
I don't
yeah.
think, if you told me to do the top five, I could only do the three. And it's
right.
Three.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But... Snyder's Cut has given me hope for the DC Cinematic Universe. It really has.
I still don't want to watch DC movies as much as Marvel movies, but if I was to watch them, I would want him directing it now.
Yes.
Did you know that he never actually went and saw the Joss Whedon version? His wife and Christopher Nolan, who's his friend.
Yeah.
Basically begged him not to go watch it because it would break his heart.
Yeah.
And so he's never seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
and they dedicated this movie to his daughter.
I saw that, Autumn.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know Christopher Nolan was a producer for this movie, for the Snyder Cut?
Yeah.
Like, he was one of the producers.
Yeah.
Christopher Nolan
was
done a lot with DC, though.
I was watching like that intro scene with Batman when he was in the mountains, and it was like naming off all the producers. And it was like, oh, Ben Affleck, so and so, and I said Christopher Nolan. I was like, what? What?
The only person that caught my eye while I was watching the credits, I was like my mind just kept passing the white credits. I saw Jason Momoa, and like people like that were passing by. Like my brain was like catching them. But, like, I was ignoring them because I was like, okay, intro, kind of seen this intro. I know white text, yeah. And I just saw Willem Dafoe, and I was like, what the fuck?
I saw the same thing. I saw Willem Dafoe, and I was like, what the hell? What is he doing in this movie?
And I was trying to figure out.
What is Dalla doing here?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out. Is he Steppenwolf? Which character am I missing?
Well, I have a fun fact for that later, but one of the reasons that they didn't want him to watch the movie is because when he originally did it, and we could see it in the cut,
yeah.
They described Victor Stone as the heart of the movie.
Yeah.
And when Joss Whedon did it, he cut 90% of the storyline for the theatrical version.
Yeah.
And that shot was restored in this cut.
Yeah.
And I think, and you and I talked about it last night, one of the few things, I didn't dislike this movie. I thought that there was a lot of moments that were incredibly slow and didn't need to be there in visual effects.
Right.
And that kind of bogged it down for me at times where I was like, why is this scene a minute long to get a shot of Aquaman hitting the water just right? Come on.
Something that I'm going to have to get used to with DC movies because I'm not going to go away. I had to get used to it with Fast and the Furious. I had to get used to it with Transformers. I don't like Fast and the Furious. I do like Transformers. Slow motion.
Yeah, it was just, there was a lot of that.
Because I don't think slow motion is a bad tool.
I hate it with Wonder Woman. It's fucking annoying.
Yeah, it is. It is annoying in that, especially because she moves not in slow motion.
Right.
It's like it's not applying to her.
I will say.
Yeah, if they're going to do something like that, they need to isolate it to a certain character. So it could be like that character's, not really trait, but like when something's happening, you know that it's that character doing it.
Yeah.
Whenever she's on screen, they're like, right.
No, like, the Flash, his stuff needs to be in, like, slow motion, because then you wouldn't really need, like, an actor for it. You just need a red streak and some blue lightning. But his stuff, I think, needs to be in slow motion, so we can actually see what the Flash is doing. We know what Wonder Woman's doing. We don't need to see her block 400 bullets to save a bunch of school children. Like, we know that she can do that.
John,
we know that she is able to do that.
We'll say that in this cut, especially, and I know the one scene we're talking about is the bank scene. In the bank?
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, that's not what I'm talking about.
That was a museum.
But yeah.
Oh, okay, the museum, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I will say that they did cut out a lot of the slow motion for that. They kept some of it in.
Mm-hmm.
But when she was blocking all the bullets,
mm-hmm.
they did it in real time.
Yeah. And it looked weird, but you could tell that they had to redo that as well.
Yeah.
You could tell that they had to redo that, and even though it looked a bit janky, it looked better anyway.
Yeah. They did cut out some of the slow motion, some of the consistent, boring slow motion parts,
mm-hmm.
and kind of sped them up.
Yeah.
And they did the slow motion a lot better in this movie, not perfect.
Something that DC does is they use it as a movie tool.
Yes.
Usually people use it as a visual tool, but DC uses it as like an actual movie storytelling tool.
Right.
And so that's just something that I think I'm going to have to get used to. I don't think it's something that they're doing wrong.
Right.
I think it's something that like visually I'm just going to have to get back into because movies stop doing that.
Although I will have to say the one scene in slow motion that I absolutely loved
mm-hmm.
was when Superman was first resurrected.
Yeah.
When he's got Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and Batman
mm-hmm.
all holding them, and here comes the Flash.
No, it's Aquaman. It's everybody but Batman, because he comes in later.
That's right. Yeah. Other than Batman.
Yeah.
Cyborg.
God, that scene. Not just that scene. That whole, what do you call it? What is that called? That whole
sequence.
That was so much better.
It was, yes. Thank God. Thank you.
Finally fixed Henry Cavill's messed up face from that awful mess of CGI.
Yeah.
First thing I saw was the actual facial hair on his face.
But I will say my favorite scene is when Flash is running to get behind Superman. And then all of a sudden, Superman turns his head and looks at him.
Yeah, that was
Flash is like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And you can see that look. And they did it in the original Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of my favorite scenes in the original Justice League.
But he looked good.
And this movie, it looked better.
Yeah, they used none of Joss Whedon. Nothing of Joss Whedon's movie in this movie. Nothing.
And they took
Some of the scenes are still in.
Yes.
So,
like, that was creepy.
Josh says, wait a minute, I do enjoy the DC shows. Does that mean I'm a teenage girl?
We're not
going to
cover that.
And the amount of slow motion shots did drive him crazy, and it was overdone. It was just long drawn out. Most of what they put into this movie was visual effects, to create visual effects.
Yeah.
And that was great in a lot of it, but there were so many spots where I was just like, it slows it down so much that I have a hard time keeping interest in something when it's like that, because I just don't have the patience for it.
So at the beginning, whenever I was watching, I was like, oh, slow motion, oh, slow motion, oh, slow motion. But whenever I actually thought about it and I was like, what if I just look at this movie and be like, the slow motion is a movie tool. And I started watching and I was like, oh, he fires the cannon for the first time and you see that giant bullet fly out and you can watch it. And then all the scenes where you can actually see what the team is doing in tandem as they go by. It was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, and one of my favorite things in this movie in particular, and what made it more interesting to me, I'm not a DC fan. I went into this thinking it's going to be because it was DC. I don't know who Zack Snyder is. Zack Snyder? I don't know who he is. And it's 4 hours long. I don't want to watch it.
I was the same way.
But
you guys said it was Justice League, but now it's 4 hours long. I was like, oh, God.
Right. Well, so one of the things I absolutely loved about it, though, was the amount of character development that we finally got to see.
Yep.
Like, it really made it so that we knew who these people were.
Yeah.
And I thought that was super cool, especially with Cyborg. There was so
everything
much
had
more
a purpose,
with him.
Too.
Yes.
Yes.
Like,
absolutely.
In the original, it was like, we should resurrect Superman. Okay. But in this one, it was did we? Like, this could end up real bad for us. And
right.
Stuff like
I
that.
Love,
like, they were humanized. To a
I love
point.
How thought out it was. And I love the fact that we saw a lot of. It did help the Ben Affleck Batman.
Yep.
So much.
Absolutely.
Well, his remorse. There was so much remorse in this movie up to resurrecting him that we didn't see in the other movie. The other movie was so quick to just, he died. I'm sorry. And this one, there was so much more leading up to it and how he really felt about it.
What I really loved about this movie is, so in the original cut, it's Bruce Wayne against everybody and resurrecting Superman.
Yeah.
And this one, Bruce Wayne didn't bring up the idea of resurrecting him.
No.
He kind of helped that idea along, and they all made the decision.
Cyborg and Flash. Yeah. That's whenever Aquaman looked over at them when they got into the spaceship, and he looked at those two, and were like, I hope you two know what you're doing.
Yes.
And they were looking at him, he was looking at Flash and
Cyborg.
Yeah.
Whereas before, it was almost all Batman's plan.
Yeah,
there's a line in that scene that I think helps Ezra Miller's Flash, because Ezra Miller's Flash sucks. He's like wimpy and
I think he's not brave.
He's not
an actor, but I think that his Flash
I think the Flash is supposed to be like a comedic relief and like somebody who is always like there and is just
he's more kid Flash than he is Flash.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And in this one, in that scene, Flash goes, I know we're all thinking about it, but don't make me say it. It's like those sort of quips and like lines like that is what makes the Flash who the Flash is.
Like, and he was he was almost like a Robin in this, where he's very jokey and he's the kid. Oh, and everybody's making fun of him,
he's
messing
confident.
Up a lot, and then he just does the big thing at the end where he literally saves everyone's lives.
Yeah.
That's where he goes back in time. Yeah, because in this movie, the reason that he's such a fuck-up is because there's a build-up to why he is, because he gets his relief at the end.
Yeah.
In the original one, he was just a fuck-up.
Yeah.
Like, he was just a dumb character.
Yeah, I think they definitely helped Flash in this one. Especially, like, in the original one, they said, he said, oh, I just kind of run and push people out of the way. But when we first meet him, he's literally saving what is to be Iris West, his future wife, saves her from a devastating car crash, and then gets a job at the same time. Like, that requires so much swagger and confidence.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I just liked him a lot more in the Snyder Cut. He wasn't a wimpy little bitch.
One of the things that boosted him in this movie that made him such a little bitch in the last movie was in the under the harbor scene. Where in the original one,
giant pipe.
In the original one, he's like, I don't like bugs. Ew. I'm just a little bitch. And this one, he's just like, okay, what do I need to do? Let's do this.
Yeah, he's trying. He's trying his best in this one.
Yeah.
It's not a. I'm going to try, and if I fail, that's okay. It was just a. I'm trying my best. I'm still gonna fuck up, but I'm trying.
Right.
That stairwell scene was like. It wasn't like funny, but it was like comic humor.
Yeah, like he couldn't just race everyone up. He just had to be like, boom, man, you guys are slow. Boom.
And that's definitely something like the Flash would do.
Yeah,
it felt better.
They still made him out to be more like Kid Flash.
Yeah.
Than Barry Allen.
Yeah.
But in this one, they gave him a lot more confidence. Gave him a lot more, some of that, a lot more of that superhero type, je ne sais pas, if you will. And in.
In American terms, that's called swagger.
Yeah, okay. Swagger.
We got word for it.
But in that particular scene, he, in the Snyder Cut, Batman was fighting one of the parademons. And he literally just, you know, Flash came in. He's like, you know, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he didn't say it, but that was his attitude.
Yeah, the best part is that he didn't say it.
Yeah.
There was a lot. It's not that I don't like the actor, but it was a lot less talking.
Yes.
Which helped him.
Yeah.
Because during the action scenes, no one else is talking. And so he's joking around until action scenes come up, and then he's in the action too.
Yeah. And then Batman's like, you know, hey, get these guys out of here. He gets them out and then goes right back in.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees what's going on, and he's like, oh, fuck, Wonder Woman needs her sword. I need to help her, and this is going on.
Which I guess is okay. I still didn't really understand that, because she still hits the ground, which means that she could have just hit the ground and picked up her sword. But
it's a cool sequence to portray the Flash.
Yeah.
His usefulness, yeah.
And seeing the battle through Flash's eyes and seeing what he can do to help. And if tipping the sword is helping, then that's all he needs to do.
Which is fair enough,
And I still love... So my favorite scene in the original Justice League, my absolute favorite scene in the whole movie, is still my favorite scene in this movie, and I'm glad that Zack Snyder filmed that, and I'm glad it was kept in here, is when Batman...
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
Because he filmed the good parts.
Yeah.
Obviously.
It's when Batman meets the Flash with Barry Allen for the first time, and he's sitting there, and he throws the batarang.
Yeah.
And then we see Flash go into... the Speed Force, and he looks at Bruce, looks at the Batarang, and just picks it out. That is my absolute favorite scene, because it's like, holy shit.
Like, the most funniest parts in that scene, like, when he points at the suit, he's like, that's what they use on the space station. I do very competitive ice dancing. Like, that, it's such a bad lie, but he's just trying to do anything.
Ice dancing, not speed skating, it's ice dancing.
One of the only things I don't really understand, and maybe you guys can correct me on this, but I get that the Speed Force allows him to do much more manipulative things with speed.
In time. It
has to do with speed, right?
In time.
Sort of. It has to do with time, because of speed.
Yes.
You know, the light speed equation or whatever. It has speed and it has light and force and whatever. Well, why there's a certain part in the film where he races up to the car and is just standing still looking at this girl. None of his body is moving.
He's still pulling
the
speed
force. I don't understand.
Okay, so...
His body is still moving faster than what's going on around.
Wouldn't it be the same as the scene with the battering?
Yes. So
that's what I'm talking about. I understand that the speed force manipulates time.
His molecules.
Yeah, but so wouldn't that make him...
He speeds up his molecules.
But wouldn't that just make him stopping time, not going fast?
He's not going fast in those two scenes. He's slowing time down.
Yeah.
I'm about to go a little bit Doctor Who on here. So you're thinking of time as a linear equation.
I'm not thinking about time at all. I'm talking about speed.
Yeah.
Okay, so speed and time are relevant.
Yeah.
Until, and that's what you were talking about, E equals MC, the theory of relativity.
Yeah.
The theory of relativity states that as you get closer to an object, like a black hole, time slows down.
Yeah.
It basically says that time is relevant, and it is, because not everybody experiences time the same way. Time, as we know it, hours, minutes, seconds, days, weeks, months, is literally a concept made up by man to control his environment.
Yeah.
There's literally no concept, pure, total concept of relative time.
But that's not even really what I'm talking about. It's more... The way that I see the Flash is, yes, he uses the Speed Force, but doesn't he use the Speed Force to go fast, in which we see him as going slow motion, but he's not actually going slow motion. But in this movie, he's literally going slow motion. Everything is slowing down around him.
So it's basically like this. So even though his body is not physically moving, he is still in what is considered the Speed Force in his mind. So, he's standing still and he's not really moving, but his body, his molecules, his brain, his thoughts, everything that he's doing is going super fast, even though he's not moving.
So, but the thing I'm wondering is are they changing that, or is that how it's always been?
That's how it's always been, but what you're looking at is you're looking at him through his eyes. You're not looking at him through our eyes.
When it's in the blue Speed Force mode, that's like us looking at him in third person. Like, we are the Flash in third person, and that's how he is moving and thinking and stuff.
Yeah. He's not really standing still, because if he stands still, he comes out of the Speed Force.
That's what I'm saying.
He's still moving, because if you look at, the scene where he meets...
He can move his body molecules faster than, even though his legs aren't moving, he can still take that speed and make his body do that. It's like he's having, he's shaking his body very violently, very fast.
He can literally move his molecules. He can phase through solid objects.
Okay, then the only other thing that I don't understand for visual, a film visual, is... If all of his molecules are vibrating fast enough for his whole entire body to go fast and not just his legs and feet, mm-hmm. then why did his shoes burn up and not his clothes?
Because we didn't want to see him naked.
Friction.
Okay, fair enough.
it's like a runner running off of a running block. It's like where he's getting
his
power.
But the whole point is that he's not running fast. His whole body is going fast. So
I mean, at that point, he was
all
fast. He started the run.
Or none of that, I mean.
He started to move and transfer into the Speed Force before he fully enveloped himself. That's why his shoes burnt up, because they were still stationary while he was moving. He literally moved out of his shoes.
I don't understand why that doesn't happen for the clothes, though.
Movie magic.
I guess.
In the CW show, they explain it. So, the CW show, they spray it. It's not really spray. Not sure what it is, but it's a material. It's like anti-friction material that they put on all his clothes. Because originally he was burning all his clothes off when he was running.
Wow. One of the only things that I understand about this movie, I was talking to Anne about it, and two things that I really noticed about this movie. Sorry, I was moving on because I didn't want us to talk about Flash the entire time.
No, you're fine.
I was moving on for myself.
No, that's fine.
That would have been a conversation for the whole movie.
Yeah.
One of the things that I noticed about this movie is they changed the rating from PG-13 to R.
Yes.
And I noticed that there was a hell of a lot more blood, a lot more death.
A lot more blood.
And Batman says fuck at the end. He says a big old F word.
Uh-huh.
Which doesn't mean, I feel like this would still be PG-13, wouldn't it? You have to say two F words.
So I think it's not only the
I think it was two.
The creature.
Like somebody else said it.
I thought there was only one. There was one, it was at the end whenever he was talking to, I guess, the Joker. I don't know.
I think it's the type of violence that's in there. Because you literally see somebody get their head bashed against a rock, and you see the blood stain behind it.
But, like, the thing is that this movie still didn't cross the line of what is violence and what is gore. There was no gore.
Right. So it's rated R.
I mean, we weren't
violence.
Seeing, like, people's guts and stuff, but there's still, like, that, I don't know, shocking violence. Like, somebody literally gets, like, punched in the face and slammed against a rock. Like, that's, well, it doesn't look violent. It's still a violent process.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. It's mainly for the violence, some language. You do hear shit and damn and hell. And.
But those are PG-13 words.
Right.
And
but
I thought PG-13 is only whenever there's one F word, and if there's two, then it gets an R rating.
But it's not rated R for language and some violence. It's rated R for violence in some language.
Mm.
That's how the MPAA works.
That's weird, though.
Is they'll take a rating,
mm-hmm.
so they'll look at a movie
mm-hmm.
and see, like, how much violence, how much cussing, how much nudity, how much sexually explicit and sexually suggestive terms and themes are in the movie.
Drugs.
And drugs, yeah, mm-hmm. and smoking and alcohol. They will, that's how they do their rating. And they'll do it, and so when they put it out, when they say this is rated R, they'll say rated R for violence in some language. Because it allows parents to judge which of their children they want to allow to see it. Like, I would allow Liam to see this, to watch this. It's not bad.
Superhero movie.
Yeah, it's not bad. There's no nudity, there's no sex.
Yeah.
It's literally just violence, which he sees on video games.
Yeah.
And the language is nothing that he doesn't hear on a daily basis.
When we had the gaming truck, they had the multiplayer version of, or no, maybe it was the normal version, but some version of GTA set up.
Uh-huh.
And I walked onto the van, and he looked over at me, and he was like, look at that.
Yeah. Well,
I was like, okay, you're going to, the 20 minutes that you have will be you at the loading screen, but.
So the person that was running the gaming truck actually had to come out and ask for the parents.
The rating system?
Well, they had to ask the parents, hey, can he play, because the birthday boy played GTA. And we're like, he's not going to get far enough in it to murder any prostitutes.
Yeah, if it was set up like a normal gaming truck at a convention, you get like 20 or 30 minutes to play.
Yeah.
That would have been the loading screen.
Right.
It's so long.
And so
I wasn't really worried at all. He wasn't going to get anywhere.
No. But that's how the MPAA works. They do rated R for violence
mm-hmm.
in some language. Because that's the chunk of why the rating is there. Because you do see blood. You do see, you literally see Steppenwolf get his head cut off.
I know, but the thing is like, there's no blood afterward. There's blood where things are normal, and then no blood where there's shit. More.
Right, but the MPAA...
Which I feel like was a fight to try and get PG-13.
Right, but the MPAA is actually starting to become a little more strict on their ratings. If this movie would have come out 10 years ago, it probably would have been rated PG-13.
Yeah. But
they are starting to become more strict, especially on drugs, alcohol, and...
Well, you're not allowed to smoke cigarettes anymore. Like, at all, you can't do movies either. You can't smoke. You're not allowed
they
to
do still have movies to smoke.
They
you're
do.
Not, you're, no, you're not allowed to have cigarettes or cigars anymore because of all the nicotine things coming out. There is no advertisement allowed to advertise cigarettes.
Well, you can't see the cigarette pack, but there are still movies where people go out. Recent movies. I can't name any off the top of my head, but there are recent movies
I don't know.
And TV shows where they do that.
I don't know. It might not and be like independent movies, but I don't think any blockbuster movies are allowed to.
Well, they don't do it just because.
I don't think they're allowed to. like Cable. He always has a cigar in everything, but he didn't have one in Deadpool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's stuff like that.
Right. But yeah, that's how MPAA writes there. That's why...
The same thing with Hellboy as well. In the original Hellboy, he always had cigars. He couldn't have one in the new one.
He did in the old one.
That's what I'm saying. It was before that rating happened.
Yeah.
Or before that restriction.
And that's why Rob Zombie has such a hard time getting an MPAA rating for
the release. That's the only reason. Okay.
No. It's the amount of violence. No, I was saying amount of violence and sexually explicit themes.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why his stuff can't just be released on Raven.
Because they can't release it to theaters. On Raven.
Oh.
It has to happen. Anyway,
right.
Well, okay, so there's two things that we have not hit. It's a 4-hour movie, and I don't want to run out of time.
Right.
So one of the things is the introduction of Darkseid.
Yes.
And also the re...
That's so fucking cool.
Three things. So also the reimagination of... Or his...
The remastering?
Remastering of...
Steppenwolf?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So those two things definitely... I wanted to make sure we hit on them because it was important. This is like the... It's literally the first theatrical debut of Darkseid.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the 50th anniversary of his debut in the comics. So, like, that's pretty cool.
There was a big old bingo game going on inside my head because every single time there'd be a new... Oh, there's a new Amazonian... scene. Oh, there's a new Aquaman scene. Oh, there's a new Superman scene. Like, everybody just got more time.
Yeah.
Yes.
We got more explanation within this movie, and we mentioned it earlier, and I want to get to what you were talking about, because I definitely want to hit on that.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I wanted to kind of touch on from my point of view, because I'm egotistical.
The word is narcissistic.
I'm not a narcissist.
Textbook narcissism.
All right. Okay. Anyway, is the full explanation and the full storyline of Cyborg.
Yeah.
Like, in the original, he was an asshole.
Yeah.
I fucking hated Cyborg.
Yeah, Cyborg
in
was...
In the first one, in the
original.
Cyborg had no meat to him. Like, not literally. He had no character to him.
There was no substance.
Yeah.
There was no substance. He had no storyline.
No point.
He came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was more backstory for him in Batman vs. Superman than in the movie that he was in.
Yeah.
And he was an asshole with no change to that. He started
That's like
as an
the main
asshole
beef
and
between
an asshole.
Ray Fisher and Joss Whedon.
There was no character development.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. It was kind of the same thing for Aquaman.
What?
Aquaman just was like this wild guy that came out of nowhere and then jumped onto a car, jumped off, and went, "Yoo!" And then that was it. That was his character.
There was a car scene in the original with Aquaman that I enjoyed. I thought it was funny. I was so sad it wasn't in this one. But it's cool.
It was in this one.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it's in that
but
moment
it was,
where I was
but it
like...
it was better. Wasn't it extended? It felt longer.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I do still want to touch on those two things. But the other one was the introduction of other characters from DCU into this movie.
Yeah.
Like Martian Manhunter.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw the Joker.
And we saw like 14 different Green Lanterns.
We saw the Green Lantern.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw the Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah.
And
they mentioned it. They were like, there's no lanterns here, and now there's no Kryptonians.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa.
You're about to get fucked up. So I will say, right at the beginning, when we did see Superman die, and we saw the wave of him yelling going out.
Yeah.
At first, when I first saw it, I was like, what the fuck is this bullshit?
That's not how sound waves work.
But it was just like, oh my god, you're...
It was cool to see, like, because there was a hard transition in the original one, where it was like, he dies, In Batman vs. Superman, he dies, and then they get off the rocks, and then they're like, oh, now we're here with a dead body. But that gave, that even that little snippet of them just trying to start this off with a bigger bang than before, start off louder, still gave more story.
It did.
Yeah.
But at first, because I already had, like I said, I already had my, what's the
black tinted glasses. I just gave you an explanation.
This is the word in my head. Going into this. And
convictions?
Why'd you lie? Why?
Going into this, and that kind of set my tone to begin with. Because I was like, that's fucking stupid. Having this wave go across the entire world and Superman died. I mean, I get that he's powerful. But then it started...
But it immediately showed his powers. In the first 2 minutes of the movie...
Yeah. And then it started
to
crack
power.
The mother boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like... Okay.
It showed the true impact of Superman's death.
Yeah. And then within that five-minute span, I was like, okay, that makes a lot more sense.
Now, there's a reason that they've just all of a sudden woken up after him.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the fact that a Kryptonian died. It was the fact that their boxes knew that he died.
Yeah.
They quite literally heard him die.
Yeah. It wasn't a literal wave that went across.
Yeah.
A figurative wave that we got to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things where in the original one, it was like, have they just been watching the world waiting for Superman to die? Like, how did they know?
Yeah.
And in this one, there was an actual explanation.
Yeah. So, and which sets up the entire movie. And you're like, okay, that makes a lot more sense. And now I'm intrigued.
Mm-hmm. Like, so many, so, like, questions that I didn't have answers for were answered in this movie. That's why I think this is such a good movie. It's because the original movie, there was parts in it that I felt like were shit, but I couldn't understand why.
Yeah.
And in this one, it was like, that's because I was only looking at half the picture, and I didn't even know it.
Right.
And
it's
now
like,
I feel fulfilled.
It answered questions I didn't even know I was asking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now it's like, oh.
Because there was so much jumble in the original one, I couldn't make heads or tails of it, of what I needed to know what I was missing.
Yeah. It definitely put a lot more credence into the DC cinematic universe.
Credence. That's what Flash's actor played.
Yeah.
In Fantastic Beasts.
Really? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the only other thing I know him in.
Yeah.
And now, I think he's good in both.
That's what the word I was looking for.
That's Credence's brother.
Right?
Prejudice.
That was the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
But it really brought out Ben Affleck as a much better Bruce Wayne and Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, he was good as both in this one.
He was... So, I liked Ben Affleck as Bruce Wayne in Batman vs. Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't care much for him as Batman.
No.
But
yeah, especially because of the Batman that you were trying to...
Compare him to. Right. But then we get this movie, and it's literally a seamless entity.
Mm-hmm.
It's Bruce Wayne and Batman.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they knew he was way past the point of people finding out about him.
Right.
Like, the world's ending. We don't really need, you know, me trying to keep my secret.
I mean,
he did
keep his secret, because at the end we find out that Lex Luthor.
Well, yeah, he's an Iron Man.
Slave.
But like
no.
At the same time, it wasn't his top priority.
Right.
He was any all of the super people he just walked up to and were like, "Hi, I'm Bruce Wayne. I'm also Batman. Do you want to join my team?"
Yeah, like, he would talk to Arthur.
Yeah.
Aquaman.
Yeah.
Aquaman's like, so, a bat. You dress up as a bat.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. And then later on in the movie, he's like, he's a bat. And it's like, that's, and they did that in the original Justice League. But in this movie,
mm-hmm.
it held a lot more.
Well, we didn't get that scene, did we? Whenever
we
they were walking?
We did. We got that scene, yeah.
Okay.
We got it.
I'll be honest, the original movie is a haze.
A haze?
Yeah.
But it just, and we all know I'm not a big fan of Ben Affleck. I'm really not.
I don't have that same prejudice. See, I can use the word.
Yeah, me either.
This is the only movie I've ever watched him with.
See, I've seen him in so many other movies.
Yeah.
And as a leading actor, I never really liked him.
Yeah.
I don't know. It depends on the kind of movies, and I'm not a Ben Affleck hater.
Well, I'm not a Ben Affleck hater. I just don't love him.
I don't think I've seen him in anything else.
I mean, he was in Good Will Hunting.
Good Will Hunting. That's really where I was going with that. Anyway, Good Will Hunting, he was good in.
He was good because he was a supporting actor.
Reindeer Games, he was good in.
He was still more of a supporting actor.
I literally have no idea. Yeah. Never watched
But those are still good performances.
Yeah.
I don't think he has had, like, I mean, he's had opportunities to be a leading actor.
But really... I mean,
they did work out for him. But this one, I think he did.
Surviving Christmas, Clerks 2, Pearl Harbor. He was not... He wasn't even really good in Armageddon, let's be honest.
Pearl Harbor was pretty okay.
Pearl Harbor was crap.
He was never meant to be.
Does that affect his performance as Batman, though?
No, that's where I was going with this.
I might even be... I don't think I'm talking about Pearl Harbor. I think I saw...
Midway.
I think that shows like his like not really skill, but like his range, because he was able to separate Ben Affleck, Bruce Wayne, and Batman all like at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of did indulge himself into like the Batman, and like it kind of took him like affected him a little bit.
This one,
in Snyder's cut, he was I didn't even see Ben Affleck. I saw Bruce Wayne that has been Batman for 20 years and has seen just the worst of the worst of the worst of people.
Mm-hmm.
And he's desperate.
And
he's desperate to save the world.
And he's also, he hasn't cracked. It has made him a stronger man and a stronger Batman. And Ben Affleck portrayed that just extremely well. And he's done that in all the roles that he's ever played as Bruce Wayne. At the end of Justice League, at the end of Suicide Squad, in Batman vs. Superman, and in Justice League, he's always played a really good Bruce Wayne. But in this movie, in the Snyder Cut, there was literally no distinction between Bruce Wayne and Batman. You know,
Batwing.
One scene was... Yeah, they were one seamless character.
Batman and Bruce Wayne, or Bruce Man.
Bruce Man. It was better than, I just lost his name. Shit.
Christian Bale?
Yes. It was better than Christian Bale's portrayal as Bruce Wayne.
Which is one of those things where I can't say that it's better, because Christian Bale almost played a non-action Batman, whereas Ben Affleck is a very action movie Batman. So I can't say that he's better.
Right.
I just think he's a good Batman now.
It was just too different,
He's definitely a good Batman, and he's...
Now,
He's definitely...
And it's one of those things where, like, just, like, we see it all the time, and, like, I mean, the real-life example is, like, media. But, like, everything else is literally we have seen this movie really change the lighting just a little bit, and we see it in a different light now.
Yes.
And
I mean,
the whole
final battle went from a red tint to, a dark black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the whole final battle went from being arbitrary to actually mattering.
Yes.
He actually felt like a threat in this movie.
Yes.
I don't think Steppenwolf was supposed to be he was like the main bad guy, but he was more like the errand boy for Darkseid.
Yeah, but I wanted him to be a threat in this movie, and he wasn't.
He was definitely still a threat, and we saw that in this movie.
Yeah,
like in the
sure.
Joss Whedon in the Joss Whedon Justice League, if you took out Steppenwolf, it literally didn't matter. But in this one, you take out Steppenwolf, well, shit, you're still screwed. You got to deal with Darkseid.
Yeah.
Well, even in the original one, he was doing as much as the parademons were. Whereas in this movie, if you took him out, the parademons would not be able to do it by themselves.
No. Okay. Yeah. So we have talked a lot. And it's down to that time.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the final act.
Alright,
deep and tender.
Anyway, we're going to start with Miss Angel tonight on her final act, because I feel like we've actually cut her off a lot.
That's okay. I kind of knew it was going to happen because it's DC and...
Us three?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we could probably go on for another 2 or 3 hours about this.
And I know. My thing is, I did go into this with a lot of reservations because I absolutely do not enjoy DC movies. And the idea of the length of the movie was incredibly daunting. But at the same time, I made it through a 4-hour movie and I enjoyed 90% of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I 100% enjoyed the characters more. I loved getting to see more of them and why they were in this movie. I think the visuals were amazing. I just think they were a little drawn out in places. I really enjoyed getting to see some new characters come in. The Joker was a little off for me, but it's cool. I mean, it was part of the scene, and it's whatever. I did like that they kind of reinvented Steppenwolf. Made him look 1,000% better.
Literally made him a different villain.
Yeah. It was much
I'm
better.
I'm actually scared of him.
Yeah. Except when he loses, like, his armor and stuff, because then he just looks like a weird wimpy bull, but it's okay. We'll forgive.
That's why.
He has, like, a super small face, super big horns. Tiny face, big horns. I don't know. It was weird looking. But I did enjoy the movie. I think if you are a DC fan, a comic book fan, if you hated Justice League, the first one, like, I would recommend that you watch it. Take the time of your day and just do it, because while it seems daunting, I will admit I was tired by the end of it, but it actually didn't feel like 4 hours.
Yeah. It felt like 4 hours for me because I had to keep watching the clock.
It was pretty cool, though. It was what Justice League should have been. Even if he had had to cut it down to make it fit 3 hours, he could have done it. It still would have been a better movie.
Still would have held it, yeah.
I was a huge critic of Justice League. I hated Henry Cavill in it. I didn't like Ben Affleck in it. I thought half the characters sucked. I didn't understand what was going on. And then I watched this one, and I was like, huh. Henry Cavill's not bad as Superman.
Yeah, I had, like, a whole new respect for him.
Yeah. Like, it was...
Him and Ben Affleck, both.
Yeah.
It was a very...
Gal Gadot.
Because I watched other movies with...
Ben Affleck?
Henry Cavill. And I was like, man, he's a good actor. What happened?
Yeah.
Well, Joss Whedon happened.
Yeah.
It was just really refreshing to see them in a way that I enjoyed them.
Yeah.
Like, it was refreshing to watch a DC movie and be like, I didn't hate that. So, yeah, I would recommend it. I would maybe watch it again. I would have to really set the time aside. I'm glad I watched it. I don't know if I would watch it again soon. But, yeah. I didn't really have, again, the only thing I didn't like in it were those parts that just seemed to kind of drag out. I have a horribly short attention span, and so and it would get too long, I would lose focus for a few minutes, and then I'd miss parts of the movie because it would take a minute to get drawn back in because I just lost it over here. So that's my only issue with it.
Alex.
Yes.
What did you like about the movie? What did you not like about the movie? Again, would you recommend it?
I liked a whole lot about this movie. specifically, the... Ben Affleck and the Superman. Also, I like the Flash in this movie. He was pretty cool. And Cyborg. The rest were just kind
of
meh.
I liked all of them.
But I like how they expanded on the important characters a lot more and how they got a lot more explanation. I also like how true to the comics it was, but also being like almost like an original thought. Like the black Superman suit, that's like
love
his regenerative suit. That's like what he wears when he like died in the comics and he came back with like the mullet and stuff. And like they showed him going up into space with the sun and getting stronger and powerful for the battle. And that was just awesome. And like Batman was cool. I love how they brought Darkseid in. He's like one of my favorite villains in the DC animated movies. I love him. And the fact that they brought the anti-life equation into this movie was crazy, because I don't really have like too much memory of it, but I remember watching it in like the Justice League and the Justice League Unlimited. And he's drawn like, not like a lot, but like there's like connections there. But the fact that that was brought up made me happy. And the fact that he got to use those Omega Beams was cool.
It's a weird
thing. What I didn't like about the movie, and Martian Manhunter, he was cool. He didn't have, like, a big part, but it was still cool to see. See them expanding on the Justice League.
That made me can't wait for more.
What I didn't like about the end of Joss Whedon's was it didn't build onto anything. It didn't build onto the Justice League. But this literally added a whole new character to the Justice League. And now that we got, like, Shazam and many more movies coming out, it's going to build onto the Justice League, and I'm really excited for the future. And I'm glad HBO gave Zack Snyder the opportunity to show what he was originally trying to do, and just the inspiration behind it makes me happy. But yeah, I'd definitely watch again. I'd definitely recommend it. If you didn't like it, like the first time, get over it and watch this one.
Yeah.
The 4-hour runtime didn't really bug me all that much. I don't know, it was kind of like watching a long TV show, the way he split it up with the chapters.
Yes.
I hated them until I loved them. Like there was
well, they did that because originally it was supposed to be a miniseries, and then Warner Brothers came out and was like, "Yeah, let's just make it a movie."
Yeah.
Oh, something
like,
I really didn't like was, I don't know how like it affected you guys watching it on like the big TV, but I watched it on my phone. Like I do everything. Like that's just how I watch things. And they put it in the ratio.
Square. The box format.
They
weird.
Did that to, I'm guessing they did that to preserve budget and I don't know, get the movie out to where we can actually watch it. Because I think if they did it in 16:8, it wouldn't have been as long and inclusive. So it's kind of a win-lose, but
I thought my computer was broken.
Well, they say that at the beginning, that it's presented in a 4:3 format.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't notice that. I thought, like, my HBO had broken or something.
No, and to be honest, as I started going through it, I didn't even notice it.
That's true. But, like, I was watching the full screen, and I was like, what's that? Is it not supposed to be watched in full screen? Am I supposed to watch this in window? Like, I was very confused.
Yeah. It definitely was irritating at first because, like, wow, there's so much more to these scenes. But then you get used to it, and it's like, this movie is good either way, whether it's in 16:8 or 4:3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I definitely give this, like, an 8 out of 10. There's definitely places it could have been better. But compared to what it was originally, it's miles better. Like, it's my favorite DC movie now. It's pretty good. And I'm partial to DC, so this makes me very happy to see that they succeeded. So, yeah.
Yeah, with multiple Marvel fans in the room, too.
Yeah.
Because I don't like DC at all.
Yeah.
Like, comic book-wise. I think it's a lot of the same, but this was a pretty good movie.
Continue with your final act.
Oh, okay. something that I don't think anybody has talked about, but something that I think that needs to be talked about, so I'll talk about that instead, is the fact that they had the ring, Green Lantern's ring, in that vision of the past, of like all the gods and the humans and the Atlanteans fighting, and then the ring flies off.
They showed that in the original.
Yeah, but something that I think will work now with what they've actually set up, it's like,
they didn't cut his hand
they just wanted
original.
To have...
No, they didn't.
No, but like they had like the ring, and then he tries to grab it, and it flies off because it's like, no, yeah, it's not meant for you.
Yeah.
And something that actually works with this movie now, whereas the original one was like, we're just going to have this guy here because it makes sense that he's here at this time.
Yeah.
It actually makes sense in this movie now with it actually building Justice League members, because now there might actually be a new Green Lantern movie at some point that'll be good.
Yeah.
And I hope that Snyder directs it.
Yeah.
I think that it's something that can actually be achieved now. I don't think it could have been with Joss Whedon. And that's why I didn't even think about it the first time I watched it.
Yeah.
Something that I definitely enjoyed was The Martian Manhunter. Don't really know why he didn't help, but I think he's a cool character. I hope that with this, they almost do it like Marvel, but I still hope they do stuff differently, because a whole different movie platform, you can do stuff differently. But I hope that they do other movies and then come back to the Justice League. Because now they have the Green Lantern, Martian Manhunter. They just did Wonder Woman. I think that they have a lot more to build off of now.
Okay.
And I think that this was literally, I would think that you would have Justice League at the end, like an endgame type thing. But I think it was great to have it at the beginning, because this has been the only movie that feels like a building block. It
right.
feels like a foundation to build a house. And so I think that is, without having to talk about anything more, I feel like that is what Snyder has done here. Whereas before it was a DC movie, now it actually feels like something they can start with,
yeah.
and then build off of.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what I think that's what he and these producers and all of these people that actually helped him with it, I think that's what they've achieved. Is even if it's not the best movie you've watched, it is a really good movie. And I would say that I like this more than Shazam for sure. I would say that I definitely like this more than Aquaman. So this might have to be my favorite DC movie.
Okay.
If I take away all recollection of the original Justice League, this
yeah.
might be.
Okay.
Thinking
okay.
about how shit it was, it's still really hard. but like Shazam was really jokey. Like I like jokes in movies, but not whenever it's the whole movie.
Yeah.
So I like this a lot. Yeah. I like this a lot. This was a good movie.
Yes.
This was like watching Avengers for me. Like it felt like an actually good produced movie about multiple superheroes and how they can cohesively fight.
Yeah.
So yeah, I enjoyed this movie a lot. I think that just like Avengers, I hope this is a movie that they can actually build other movies off of, and have other characters.
There's actually a hashtag going around saying restore the Snyderverse instead of release the Snyder Cut. Now it's restore the Snyderverse. People are loving it.
At first, I just saw this release the Snyder Cut as a meme, and that's all I saw it as, even whenever it was coming out.
Yeah.
I was like, this is just going to be a shit, and people are going to regret it. But now I'm fully in support of it. This is going to be pretty good if he keeps doing exactly what he did for this. But yeah, like we had, I can't even remember it now, but there's so much story that I want.
Yeah.
Whereas before it was, you're giving me all the story, okay, I can go put you in a drawer now.
Yeah.
There's so much story that I want. I want to know why Joker's in it. I want to know why what Martian Manhunter's been doing, because we know he's been on Earth.
Yeah.
I want to know where the Green Lantern ring went. I want to actually know those things now. Whereas before, I didn't want to know any of it.
Yeah.
I wanted nothing to do with it. So yeah, that's my final act. I guess I'll watch it again. And I will recommend it, and I did like it, most of it. It was drawn out, but I see why.
Yeah.
And I liked all the extra scenes that were added, even if they were a lot, like 4-hour movie. It's a lot in a day, sitting. It makes sitting hard.
Yeah.
But, you know, it felt good. So
one very minor, minute thing that was explained better in the original Justice League, my opinion, than in the Snyder Cut, is why Batman is building the Justice League. In the Snyder Cut, it's literally just because of what a crazy madman said.
Mm-hmm.
In Joss Whedon's Justice League, it's because he's actually fighting the Parademons. And that gave him a reason to build a team and to research what's going on. But
that's not the reason.
It's not.
The reason that you gave.
Right.
It's because he's fulfilling a promise to Superman that he would bring people together so that he can
He's trying to bring the Age of Heroes back to protect her.
Right. And I think, I feel like that's actually a better one.
And like I said, it's a very minute detail. The Batman's reason in the Snyder Cut works for the movie.
Yeah.
One of the only things I didn't like was the Flash doing the job interview. I get why they did it.
Yeah.
But to me...
Well, he needed scenes too, but he was just a normal American.
Yeah. It was just
kind of... an enjoyable scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a little clunky
because
in that...
Cyborg's tortured. His mother's scene made sense.
His mother's scene made complete and total sense, and I love that they built on his backstory.
And then Aquaman and Wonder Woman have entire other worlds that they can do scenes for.
Right.
His made sense because they needed him to be even in this.
They kind of made movies about those worlds.
It just kind of felt a little off-putting to me.
Yeah.
It's one of those scenes that could be cut from the movie that would not detract from the movie. That makes sense.
Well, yeah. I think it showed that he was actually useful.
Yeah.
That wasn't in the original.
And the addition doesn't make the movie worse.
No.
It's one of those scenes where...
And it's also not that long.
It's not. It's a deleted scene that was added back in for the director's cut, which is not bad. One of the things that makes me very happy about the Snyder cut, so the Joss Whedon cut destroyed the DC cinematic universe. It ended it completely. That was the end of it.
It was there were threats, multiple different threats from multiple different studios of completely rebooting everything.
Yeah.
And other movies, but because of that, that was the ender.
I wanted it. I wanted a whole reboot of the entire DCU.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're kind of getting with, like, the Robert Pattinson Batman and, like, the Joaquin Phoenix Joker. Which, now that they've done the Snyder Cut, I'm not sure how that's going to really fare well for Robert Pattinson's Batman.
Yeah. Because I actually do really like Ben Affleck's Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
The Snyder Cut is now we have, like you said, Austin, we have a rock now.
Yeah.
This one movie can span and build on, or it can be built upon, with so many different universes now.
Mm-hmm.
We can have a universe where Lois Lane dies, and we can build that whole universe in movies and TV series.
Mm-hmm.
We have a universe where she lives, and we can build on that universe. This movie completely and totally just opened the door wide open and broke down every wall that the DC universe had.
And even if they're only do a, and I saw something about that, about the DCEU, the extended universe, that's completely fixed it.
Yeah.
So even if they go with one cinematic universe that tells the story that goes from this to maybe that future or maybe a fixed version of that future or maybe them fixing that future and it's all one story, there's still so many other movies and other heroes that we can now build off of because of this movie.
Yes.
And solely because of this movie.
Yes. It revitalized the cinematic universe.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, fun fact. Henry Cavill actually wanted Superman to have a mullet in this Snyder cut.
Yeah, that's what
he said. So didn't Zack Snyder.
Yeah. Warner Brothers said, Warner Brothers and HBO said, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah, but I would have been fine with it, to be honest. It wouldn't have distracted, especially because it's in the comics.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do like that they refilmed it so he had a fucking face that looked normal.
Right.
Like, I watched it the first time and I was like, why does his face look weird? And then I realized it's because it's normal.
Yeah.
Quick fact, to be really fast. As of now, Ben Affleck is set to return in the Flashpoint movie.
Nice.
I don't know what I think they're firing Robert Pattinson.
No, they're still going to make the movie, but...
Okay.
I think Flashpoint will create that, like, multiverse type of thing, because that's what
it does. Oh, yeah, that's fair.
I'm so excited for DC.
Overall, I just really liked this movie. I was really impressed. It didn't feel like 4 hours until the epilogue. But I definitely want to watch it again at some point when I can set aside the time. And if you're a hater of Joss Whedon's Justice League, But you still like DC and you still like the superhero genre.
If you want any hope in it.
Exactly.
If you want to hate Joss Whedon even more, watch this movie.
That's true. If you want to rebuild your confidence in the DC cinematic universe, you need to watch this movie. Because it will completely restore your faith.
Quick question, because I can't access IMDb. My computer, I'm loading as many things as I can load right now. Who played that Joker? Is that
Jared Leto?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they completely refilmed that scene during like quarantine and stuff. That was like one of the reshot scenes.
Because I like Jared Leto as a creepy person, I like that Joker way more.
Way more than Suicide.
Still not a fan of the laugh. I think the laugh is stupid, but...
No, that's the only reason I thought it was still him, was because you can recognize that laugh.
Yeah. All right.
I still liked it.
Again, we could go on for another 3 hours, but we only have 3 minutes. So I do have to cut everybody off. I apologize.
We could all turn into the Flash. Talk real fast.
But I do want to thank all of my hosts tonight with me that joined me tonight. This was definitely a good movie to talk about tonight. I also want to thank all of our supporters, all of our listeners, all of our followers, all of our new followers that we've gotten this week. Thank you very much. Mm. And, you know, we love you guys. I also want to say, of course, Veterans Fire, Police, and EMS. They're out there every day putting their lives on the line for you. Don't judge the 99% by the 1%. There are really, really good people in uniform and out of uniform that would literally lay down their life for you. As always, be safe, be smart. We want you back here every day that we broadcast on Wicked Curiosity Media. Every Sunday night for Movie of the Week. Are we having a show Tuesday night?
As far as I know.
Okay. And we are doing, I believe we're doing Cinephiles on Wednesday. We did skip it last Wednesday because, I mean, it was a holiday for the family.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out if that was a movie.
So.
Skip it.
But we are doing a Cinephiles Wednesday and more information to follow up on Friday for Note by Note. But yeah.
Have a good night, everybody. Thank you for listening. Thank you for constantly bearing with us when we have technical difficulties and still sticking around. So we will see you for this week's shows and have a great, for us, first week back from spring break.
Oh, man. It's rushing to see this show or this movie. I really thought it was going to be shit. I thought I was going to waste my time for no reason. I'm very happy. So I'm fine with tonight's show. Good night.
I don't know. I really wanted to talk about this movie, and I'm glad I got the opportunity to. Being a huge DC fan, I'm excited. And thank you for having me on.
Thank you for being here.
Good night, everybody. We will see you on Tuesday for Bonds and Grace and Wednesday for Cinephiles. Y'all
have a good night. Revealing it.
Strip it down, it's just you and me. You cut me off and say you're tired of talking. Not as if we can't agree, but you've lost your will to fight. You're packing up all your things to leave. These will be our last words. Then the chance will be lost, and I ain't too proud. If you loved me, you would hold me and never let me go. If you loved me, you would tell me to be alone. If you cared at all, you would stop and never go. But You just turn your back to me and